Awesome. Well, welcome everybody. I'd like to welcome you to our second conference call for RL101, which is Identifying Leadership Strengths. I'd like to acknowledge that this week I'm hosting the call from the traditional territory of the Champaign and Ajax First Nation in Haines Junction. So gorgeous mountains out the window. And I have Joshua joining me today. So it's really nice to actually be able to do a call with somebody else in the room besides me and the phone. So thank you very much. Usually what we do on our conference calls is we start with a round of introductions, and then we cover a little bit of the content for the week, and then we have some conversation. So we'll do a bit more of an introduction today because Lindsay, well, you can introduce yourself, Lindsay, and you're joining the call for the first time. And so when we do our introductions, what I'd like to ask you to do is introduce yourself with your name, sort of your role, and your community is really helpful because it's nice to, I like to visualize where everybody is across the north. I find that that's super interesting. I learn a lot about recreation from learning about your different communities. And then what I'd like to invite you to share after you introduce yourself is tell us how your understanding of recreation has, or not recreation, sorry, I'm at a recreation conference, how your understanding of leadership has changed over the past few weeks, or if it has, maybe it hasn't. But just kind of, you know, what you started thinking about when you started thinking about leadership and where you're at right now. And if you, you know, if you want to listen to other people and pass on a question, you're more than welcome to do that because I really respect that we learn in different ways and we can learn by sharing and talking, but we can also learn by sharing and listening. So, not to put you on the spot, Lindsay, but I have your name written down first. I'll pop the question in the chat so that you can read what it is again. And maybe, Lindsay, can I ask you to introduce yourself first? And then Carly, Joshua, and Ethan.
Sounds good, Carolyn. So my name is Lindsay Agar. I am the Corporate Events Coordinator for the City of Whitehorse. I'm stationed out of Whitehorse and out of the Canada Game Center. So we have a few colleagues that are taking this course at the same time, so it's kind of cool. Sorry, I've missed you all over the last month. I have been traveling in Greece, so I mean, it was sad that I couldn't meet you all, but I really enjoyed my time off, so I'm glad that I'm here now. And I'm just catching up on everything, but leadership for me has always kind of been on a spectrum. I think there's formal times where I've been a leader and I have the role and the authority to lead. And then there's other times where it's more informal and I am either put in that position just because I have the most knowledge or I'm using influences that I have to lead groups, but more of in a passive way. And I think one of the things that I really thought about perspective-wise for me is, especially because we were traveling this last month, is, and things don't necessarily always go according to plan, was how it's important to have a space where if mistakes happen, that's okay, and you just need to move forward with solutions and not blame. So, like, my partner and I were traveling, and a lot of things didn't go right necessarily, but we just always kept on moving forward in a positive way. So those are things that kind of resonated with me this past little bit.
That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that, Lindsay. It's neat how you can take something like a conversation about leadership and what it is in recreation and what you just said about traveling also applies to how we work, you know, maybe with young people in our program. So it's okay, you know, we invite young people maybe to our programs, and maybe, and Josh is nodding his head, so maybe this is what he's going to say, but, you know, that you can sort of look beyond what's not working to where you're going and how to make it continue on the path and the journey that you're on. So thank you and welcome. Carly, could I ask you if you'd like to introduce yourself and tell us how your understanding of leadership has changed or not over the past few weeks?
Yeah, my name is Carly. I am the special event coordinator at the City of Whitehorse, also from the Canada Game Center. yeah, we are also based at Whitehorse. My name is Lindsay. I think over the past couple of weeks, I've definitely realized that there are people in your life that may not think they are a leader or realize that they're not necessarily in a leadership role, but everyone can have leadership influences with people around them. Sometimes I don't necessarily feel like a leader, but I think when I think about it now, I've definitely had that impact on people, which is kind of cool, but you have to kind of notice that that's what's happening.
That's awesome. Thanks, Carly. And I really liked how you, I think you picked your dad, right, as a leader in your life and talked about him like a watering can. And I had this picture in my mind of how a watering can, sometimes you can do it too fast or too slow, but it's always there, like it's steady, right? So you can always get something from it. So I thought that was a really neat analogy. So thank you. I'm going to invite Joshua to share, if you'd like to, sort of who you are, maybe where we are if you want to, and how your understanding of leadership might have changed over the past few weeks.
Absolutely. I'm here in Haines Junction at this REC conference with Fairline here. It's been quite the eye-opener for myself. I was given an award for my ability in recreation and leadership, I'm assuming, in my community. I am from Faro. I'm a big family man. I have 5 children. I'm married for 16 years, and family's been a lot for me, and I think leadership has always daunted me because there's a level of responsibility that comes with that, and it's a scary thing to know that people will follow you or that you have to lead people, just like you've just spoken about making the wrong turn. And it's not just you have to worry about it, the people you've got that are following you. And so it's, leadership is a terrifying thing. So to get this award is kind of, it's a new ground for me because I've never considered myself a leader. But I think I'm ready to accept that role in my community as well with, more than just my family. So I guess that's kind of what changed in the last couple of weeks for me and leadership. And the amount of respect I have for those that do run these programs and organizations and that lead people into a new realm of life, I guess.
Thank you. That's awesome. And congratulations again on your award. That's wonderful. Ethan, I'd like to invite you maybe to introduce yourself, your role, your community. And it's up to you, but if you'd like to share maybe how your understanding of leadership might have changed over the past few weeks with this learning event.
Hi, my name is Ethan Kudrun from Kokluk of Nunavut, and I'm the Recreation Coordinator Trainee for the Hamlet of Kokluk. And my understanding of leadership changed at all is I haven't really been in this learning event this past couple of weeks, and my understanding is pretty much the same as present as before, so not much to say on that.
Yeah, thanks. And I think, like I said, you know, sometimes a really good leader listens or agrees, like you just did, that you know, explain that you, some of the things that other people are saying are valid too. And I think, being a leader is also about recognizing other people's contributions and what they're saying and how that's important too. And I really appreciate you joining the call and jumping in there. I did just hear a beep, so did somebody else just join the call?
I'm here, Esther is here, Esther Worthington.
Awesome. Hey, Esther, how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Awesome. I got Joshua in the room with me, and did you hear Ethan's introduction or not quite?
No, I just joined right now.
Okay, so I'll just go around. When we do calls, just as a reminder for everybody, and I think after this might be your first time on a call, so I'll let you know how it works. We do record the call so people can listen to it, and we also do a round circle. So I imagine all of us sitting in a circle virtually across all of northern Canada, which sometimes when you go all the way from up in Haines Junction today all the way to Iqaluit or Pond Inlet or Kujukuk, where Ethan is, that's a pretty big circle. So in our circle today, we have Lindsay and Carly, who are in Whitehorse. We have Joshua and myself, who today are in Haines Junction. And we have Ethan in Kujukuk in Nunavut, which is, Ethan, is that the Kitmeel region or Kivalik? Which region of Nunavut is Kujukuk?
I'm a couple of people in Kitmeel region.
Okay, so, and that's like all, that's pretty far west, right, in Nunavut, west and north?
Yep, it's the west end of Nunavut.
Awesome. Okay, thank you. And so, and then now, Esther, you're in Faro. So I'm wondering if you would like to take a moment, Esther, just to introduce yourself so we can recognize your voice and let us know what it is that you do in Faro. I won't put you on the spot and ask you the last question because you just jumped in, but maybe you could just tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do in Faro.
Okay, I'm working in Faro. I've been at the Recreation Center for a year as a recreation programmer. So I work with Joshua Wilcox, who's also in the chorus, and so I've only been here a year. I'm actually from Whitehorse in the Yukon. So.
Oh, awesome. Okay, well, I would say that everybody probably welcomed you to Faro, and I'm so glad you were able to join the call. So thank you. So on our calls, we usually do a round of introductions that we've just finished, and then we're going to go into a little bit of content for the week, and I've got a couple of other questions just for you to reflect on. And then at the end of the call, I'll make sure I answer questions about what the activities are that are required in order to complete this learning event, because sometimes people wonder, the first one is a little easier, and the second one might take a bit more time. So last week, we talked a lot about who was leaders in your lives, what sort of characteristics and qualities they had. We also talked about how, you know, there's lots of people who are leaders, and we all recognize the people who are leaders, but we often don't think of ourselves as leaders. And that, I found that a really interesting thing to think about. I think it's good to be humble, but I think it's also important to recognize the way you influence other people in your lives. I'll give you an example. On last week's conference call, Naya, who is 18 years old from Iqaluit, and she is working at the recreation department there, and she talked about how her mother was a leader, the biological mother, and was like a tree. So as she grew and also grew leaves and shared the leaves with others, that she was teaching leadership qualities and leadership strengths in other people. I thought that was a really interesting symbol to use for leadership. I really encourage you guys to read each other's posts from last week, because everybody knows somebody who was a leader in their lives who was close to them. And I thought that was really interesting, too. This week, what the week two content of this learning event looks at is 13 core competencies for recreation leaders. And it asks you to, or invites you to develop your own leadership growth plan based on where you're at. If you have the slides open in front of you, the presentation slides, that's great. If not, I'll talk through them so that you kind of get a little bit of a sense of the content. So we're going to look at the beginning at slides 13 and 14. And these introduce recreation leadership as a priority in the whole field of recreation. So as you probably all know, you are working in the field of recreation, but you can't do what you do without some of the volunteers that you have. So across the field of recreation, we rely on many volunteers and other staff, but also recreation provides jobs for many young adults. And we've talked on some of our calls about challenges around getting volunteers involved as well. So we need to figure out more ways to share the leadership roles in recreation and not just, you know, look at one or two people in our communities as leaders. One of the things that I find is really interesting is to understand where the field of recreation started from. And recreation began as a grassroots or community movement more than 100 years ago to try and you know, help people who were, you know, sort of in cities at that time and in maybe not in high-income families, but in living in sort of tight quarters in big cities like New York, to get them outdoors, get them into parks and playgrounds and things. And I think that's why in some cultures, like I know in Inuktitut, we've been looking for a word for recreation, and there's not necessarily a word. So recreation, you know, is maybe constructed historically based on where it came from or where you're at. So it might have different meanings, even the word recreation, for different people and in different cultures. So if you think recreation has different meanings, then leadership probably does too. And that's what we looked at last week. Fortunately or unfortunately, in the 1970s, we really shifted how we provided or delivered recreation. And governments sort of stepped in and became providers of recreation. They built many facilities, and recreation started happening in facilities like arenas and swimming pools and community halls rather than in parks and playgrounds and outdoor spaces. But then as we kind of went into a recession and things cost more, all of a sudden they realized they had to start charging fees for people to use these facilities, and then recreation emerged as more of a business model because they had to cover the cost of all those facilities that they built. So this ends up being a problem because recreation started as a way of getting people who didn't have money to pay for opportunities to have those opportunities. So about 10 years or so ago, we started realizing that recreation, we can't sustain recreation in our communities if we only expect someone else to do it. And I know having worked with communities in Yukon and in Nunavut as well, sometimes, and Ethan, I don't know if you get this experience or not, but sometimes the community looks at the recreation coordinator or recreation director to provide everything for them. And that means that leadership is seen as one person in one position. But we need to really, I think we need to be leaders, and we need to raise new leaders among the young people in our communities, among perhaps people who are retiring as well. And we need to raise them as contributing as leaders in recreation opportunities as well, because that's the only way we're going to make recreation accessible to everybody, is to have more leaders for it. So that's a bit of a long explanation, but I think it's a really important explanation that comes back to how you are leaders in recreation, in your communities, and in your roles. So if you have the slides open and you scroll through them, slide 15 introduces some of the core competencies that include skills, knowledge, and attitudes, values, and experiences. A competency is an example like preparing a healthy meal or being part of a team or managing money. And across the North, what we did is we identified 13 of the competencies shown on slide 15, competencies for recreation leaders. And there's just sort of a framework or a way that we think about what do we need to know if we're in a leadership role in recreation? What do we need to be able to do? And if we're offering training, what does the training need to help people do? So you can, if you see the slide, one of the boxes says recreation leadership. So that's where this learning event came from that box. You can see another box is a budgeting and funding one. So we have a learning event that you'll be taking a little later about basic recreation finances. We also have one about proposal writing and one about writing reports. So our learning events fit into, or they connect to these competencies. Slide 16 then introduces an activity for you to do. It won't work if you're using Moodle on your phone, so you'll have to try it on a computer. But basically, it just explains to you what the different competencies are. And I think it's important to understand that now, because then when you look at doing your growth plan, your leadership growth plan, then you can figure out where are the areas where you're strong, where do you want to grow more, and it will help you identify those things for yourself. On slide 17, there's an activity number 5, and optional. You don't have to do this one this week, but it really helps you do the leadership growth plan. So it's a self-assessment based on where you feel you're at as far as the competencies. So you can share it with me if you want to do it, or you can just do it and keep it to yourself, or you can just learn about the competencies and move into the growth plan. So this one is completely optional for you to decide whether you want to do or not. For those of you, like Lindsay, I don't know, do you have any staff under you? Do you supervise any staff?
Sort of. The best answer. We're trying to hire right now for an attendant. Generally, I don't have specific staff underneath me, more volunteers or other colleagues that we work with on events.
Okay, and Carly, is that the same for you? Or are you and Lindsay sort of in a similar type, like not the same position, but sort of a similar responsibility for volunteers and not so much for staff?
Yeah, I work with staff to help me with events, but I wouldn't say I'm their direct supervisor at that time.
Okay, and Joshua and Esther, you guys probably work more under Dennis, is that right?
Correct.
Okay. And Ethan, do you have staff that report to you, or do you report to somebody else?
Yes, I have staff that report to me, and now I'm a supervisor for the recreation complex here at Pueblo.
Awesome. So you might, so for those, this is why I asked this question for everybody. So Lindsay and Carly, if you have volunteers, and Joshua and Esther, but Ethan, if you have staff under you that you sort of need to help them develop some certain skills, you might want to try the self-assessment for recreation competencies with them. Because what that might do is that might help you figure out where their strong points are, what are they really good at, and then you can use them to do those things that they're really good at. Or it also will help you identify where they might need some extra help or support. So, for example, if you have a person who's looking after tracking money, like if you collect fees and revenue and money's coming in and going out and that's their responsibility, if they're really good at it, great. If they're not so good at it and you figured it out that that's an area for them to develop, then you can help them get the training that they need. So that's another way you can use this self-assessment tool is you can use it for the people that work with you or that you supervise. So just some suggestions around that. So let's just stop for a moment now before we get into what the growth plan is. And I'd like to ask you a question, and I'm not going to put Lindsay on the spot this time first. We'll start with Carly, and we'll end with Lindsay. So our circle will now go Carly, Joshua, Ethan, Esther, and then Lindsay. And my question is, if you've had a chance either, even if it's just from this conference call so far, or from doing some of the activities this week, what have you learned about yourself as a leader? And you don't have to share everything, but just are there one or two things? Like, have you learned that there's something that you're really good at, that's your strength, or have you learned that there's an area where you'd like to develop further or grow further? So, Carly, can I ask you to jump in first? What have you learned about yourself as a leader?
Yeah, that's a hard one, actually. I don't think I've necessarily been I haven't seen myself as a leader. I think naturally I've realized I've just led by being easygoing and, like being someone that people can go talk to and hang out with. So I think that's how I've led. I think I have a lot to learn about being more of like a direct leader and consciously trying to lead people.
Yeah, so that's awesome. So when you don't see yourself as a leader, you're not really aware of how you are one, right? So by thinking through what you do and being a bit more aware of it, then you can be an intentional leader. So you can, if you have volunteers you work with, you can lead by example, or you can provide guidance where it's needed. So you can pick and choose the actions or the characteristics of you as a leader that are important. So really like how you explain that it's, you have to have some awareness or consciousness about what it is before you can help, you know, sort of evolve and grow further as a leader. So thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks. Okay, I'm going to ask Joshua the question next. Joshua, have you learned anything about, what have you learned about yourself as a leader?
You take too much joy in these complicated questions. This is a loaded question, I'm not going to lie. Another one. I think what I've learned so far through just what I've done here is that I am a leader. I always saw myself as somebody who, you know, just likes to hang out and be with the people, you know, my community, the kids, the grown-ups. But the further I go into this, the more I realize, okay, I am a leader. And like I spoke earlier, it's a terrifying thing for me. I've always had a thing with leaders and authority. Anyways, besides that, I think one of the weakest things that I recognize that I need to grow on is a level of professionalism that has to be attached to this role as a leader in my community. And and the strong points that I have is I've always been really good to point out the people that are leaders. So it's kind of funny how I never thought myself to be a leader, but I think of myself as somebody who can find a leader. Kind of funny. Anyway.
Yeah, it is. And I think that's really interesting, Joshua, what you say about those being terrified of being a leader. So in a way, you're saying that there's a responsibility that comes with being a leader.
Yeah.
The other thing that I heard you say is that we often grow up thinking that leaders are these figures of authority.
Yeah.
But what I learned from everybody in this learning event, and if you read everybody's post from last week, a leader is not only a person, the leaders that have had the most influence in your lives have not necessarily been those people in positions of authority.
And the ones that love you.
Yeah.
And wants to grow.
Exactly. So it's family, elders, aunties, uncles, cousins.
Friends.
Yeah. We had somebody, Ashley Lindsay, you know, Megan Timmett. So when she did this learning event, the leader in her life was her daughter. And that really, you know, said a lot for me. So thank you for sharing that, Joshua. Ethan, I'd like to invite you. What have you learned about yourself as a leader?
That is a good question. Maybe I'll pass this question for now.
Sure. And I think what I've learned about you is I didn't realize you had staff, too, that you were responsible for. So you're probably moving very quickly into that professional leadership role that Joshua talked about. But I think some of the things that you shared in other learning events tell me that you're very conscious about what makes a leader and what is important sort of role modeling behavior in your community as well. You know, you talked about going out on the land and things like that, and those are important leadership strengths to share that and pass it on as well. So thank you. Esther, what did you learn about yourself as a leader?
When I've had past jobs where I've done training or teaching people things, something that I've done with leadership roles is showing them things that I know or being that example, you know, doing things for the job or even when it's not in the job, like kind of showing other people, say like life skills or things, you know, to kind of try and pass on that knowledge that you know already. Yeah, that's something I've done for leadership.
Thanks. I like how you explained that it's not just what you do at work, but it's also what impacts people's lives, right? So
mm-hmm.
leadership just doesn't happen at work. It happens at home. It happens at school. It happens in our communities. You know, and it makes our communities stronger when different people learn how to take on leadership roles and actually take those on. So I think we're better when we have more leaders in our communities.
Yeah.
Thanks, Esther. Lindsay, how about yourself? I know you're just jumping in learning event just like Ethan, but, you know, even from our conversation for half an hour so far today, what have you learned about yourself as a leader?
I think one of the big things that I recognize is I've just come back into the recreation world probably in the last year. I've been doing other things more corporately, like mayor and councils and that type of way. So it's nice, A, to come back into recreation. But B, it also made me realize that in recreation, because I can sometimes have a very large personality, to give space to others to do the lead and to support them in how they're going to lead. Instead of me taking lead, being the one that helps them be the leader, I think is giving that space. And it also then allows me to, like, reconnect, which is one of the reasons why I wanted to come and do this program, was to reconnect with my rec roots. Some of you might not know, but, like, Carolyn and Ann Morgan, when I was a little girl in Watson Lake, were my leaders in my community and were the reasons why I grew into recreation. So it's kind of like a full circle right now for me.
Aw, thanks. And actually what you're talking about is giving space to others. I've been talking to Anne. It's almost time for us to give space to others. I feel like we've been doing this for a while now. So thanks for sharing.
I don't think there's anybody silly to
well, you guys all can. So thanks, Lindsay. I just heard a beep, and I noticed Nathan's in the chat. Nathan, were you able to join the call, too?
Yeah, I'm in now.
Awesome. So I'll just do a quick round the table so you know who's on the call. That was Lindsay Agar just speaking, and Lindsay was away on a beautiful holiday last month, so wasn't able to join our calls. And we also have Carly from the City of Whitehorse, and Esther from Faro, and Ethan from Kugluktuk, and I'm in the room with Joshua, and we're actually out in Haines Junction today for the Yukon Recreation Conference. So welcome and glad you could join us, Nathan. I won't put you on the spot with the last question, but I put it in the chat so that you can see what it was. Do you want to pass or do you want to try the question, which is what have you learned about yourself as a leader?
I'll take the question.
I think
since I became a leader in the community, I think I realized, I think we talked about it in our first conference, and it was that, if anybody kind of has it in them to become a leader. And then when I was younger, I always thought of leaders as a different kind of person, but then since I started this position, then I realized I think pretty well anybody could pick this up. And then I feel that, but then at the same time I have gained confidence and in my skills and stuff, and learned that it can be complicated, but then it's not all complication there, just like any other position that you would have, in any hierarchy or anything. There's the good parts of it where you feel that the accomplishment, and I just feel that I actually can be a leader, I guess, compared to before where, I thought you had to be, a different person, a different kind of person for it.
That's awesome. And I think once you start seeing yourself as a leader, then you start to feel like you can make a difference in your community, too.
Yeah, there's like that. Oh, wait, sorry. Okay, I was just going to say, you kind of, it's like positive reinforcement for yourself, like to kind of further yourself.
Yeah, exactly. So as you start to recognize that in yourself, then you are able to do it. And I was listening to an audio book when I drove out from Whitehorse to Haines Junction, and it was talking about when we change, we want to, you know, accomplish something, and how important it is to not change what it is that we do, but how we see ourselves. And I think that really applies to leadership. I think when, you know, everybody on this call has demonstrated to me that your leaders in your own special ways, unique ways in your communities, but that you don't always see yourself as such. And I think that if you see yourself as a leader and identify your strengths as a leader, then you can start to have more influence in your community and recognize the influence that you have. And then, as you just mentioned, Nathan, you get that positive reinforcement, right? And things seem to work better. So thank you very much for sharing that. Nathan, I'm just going to ask you if you wouldn't mind. We've got two people joining us on the call who haven't been on our calls before. So could you just share what your role is, what your community is, just a little bit about yourself?
Okay, so there's Carly and who that hasn't been in these calls yet?
So Lindsay hasn't been on the calls yet, and Esther, who was with Offline Pharaoh, this is her first time on the call, too.
Oh, okay. Is she there in person with you and Joshua?
No, she's in Pharaoh, so it's just Joshua and I here. So just if you wouldn't mind telling us the community that you're in and the role that you fill in that community, and if you want to tell us, like, I'm not going to say what, but where your home community as well, like where you grew up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. My name is Nathan Wilson. I'm in Fort Liard right now, and my role in the community is the recreation leader. I started a few months ago, but I moved to Fort Liard a few years ago, and you know, just I worked a little bit in recreation here before taking up this position. And originally, though, I'm from Inuvik. I was born in Inuvik, and then I lived most of my life though in Iqaluit before I moved to Fort Liard.
Awesome, thank you for sharing that. And I think it helps me to understand where people are coming from. Then I can visualize, because it's hard to meet people like this. You know, we're all on the phone and we're sharing things about each other, but we don't always see each other in person. So thank you for taking the time to share that. I really appreciate it. So let's just before we move on to one last question that I have for you today, I'd like to share just a couple of extra resources that I popped into the learning event that might be of interest to you. These are, again, completely optional. So on slide 18, I've given you some suggestions. We do have what's called a Northern Recreation Network Facebook page. And it's a closed group, which means that not anybody can find it. You have to ask to join. We try and encourage you when you're taking Rec North learning events to join that Facebook group. And some people use it. I really like it when people use it to reach out for ideas. So last week, for those of you on the call, Nathan and Naya had an awesome conversation about Arctic sports and equipment and everything like that. You can also use that Facebook group to ask those types of questions. I know somebody said, help, I'm used to offering events at our local ski area. This is a few years ago. And there's no snow at spring break. What do I do? And all sorts of people had ideas and suggestions.
Okay.
So, you know, if you'd like to join that group, it's myself and Roger Bauer from ARPE that are administrators. So the link for the Northern Recreation Network is on slide 18, or you can just look up Northern Recreation Network. There's also on slide 19, there are some more formal ways that you can get training and education. I like to think of what we're doing right now with the Recreation North training program. I see it as community-based learning and training, because we're inviting you from all your different communities to really connect and learn from each other, but also to apply what you're learning to your own community and your own situation. If you're looking for more formal training, MACA, which is the School of Community Government in the Northwest Territories, offers something, so that would apply to you, Nathan, in Fort Liard. Ethan, sometimes the Nunavut Municipal Training Organization, or MTO, offers recreation opportunities, but not all that frequently. The Canadian Parks and Rec Association has a professional development program that in 2022 we will start offering a northern pathway to that. So you don't have to do what they expect you to do down south, which is write a paper. We have it totally different. So that's an option as well. And then there's also some different post-secondary programs if you're interested in those. So just to wrap up our call then, I'm wondering if I can ask you one last question. And again, if you're not comfortable sharing or you just want to listen to what other people have to say, that's okay too. And I'm going to put Joshua on the spot this time. So we're going to go Joshua, Ethan, and then Esther, and then Nathan, and then Lindsay, and then Carly, because Carly went first last time around. So my question's a little different now. So I just asked you, what did you learn as a leader? And now I'm going to ask you, how will you continue to grow as a recreation leader? So if you think of one thing that stands out for you, what is one thing that you can do as a recreation leader to continue through your growth and growth as one, if that makes sense? So over to you, Joshua.
Yeah, absolutely. It totally makes sense. Again, another big question. How am I going to better myself? Well, I thought I was perfect. Okay. Anyways, no, I think professional development. I mean, how to become more of a professional for the community. Because being a leader, as I'm finding out through this course, takes a lot more than just playing games and knowing how to play games and stuff like that. It takes learning how to deal with the funding and the harder aspects of knowing when to say no and yes. And so I guess my answer would be taking a more of a professional run at things now, learning the behind-the-door scene stuff that nobody sees. So I think that's where I'll be heading into, which is going to be a little more challenging, but I'm up for it.
And I think we can help you on our journey, because that's exactly what, you know, you mentioned funding. You have learning events around funding. You know, how to interact with your community. One of them is get to know your community, and we have a learning event around that. So, you know, and that sort of, that's expanding your leadership skills, I think. So making them a little bit broader and touching on ones that maybe you didn't do as much as before. So.
Yes, I got to say, this is a little bit better than just on a call. Normally, I just lay back in the chair with my eyes closed. Now I actually have to make eye contact.
Hopefully, one time we'll all be able to meet up, maybe post-COVID. But thank you, Joshua.
Okay, thank you.
Ethan, how about yourself? Do you have any plans for how you'll continue to grow as a recreation leader?
Yep. How I plan to continue to grow as a recreation leader is by working with other organizations and groups, and also getting input from my community before making final decisions.
Awesome. I really like how you put that. So it's other organizations and groups will help you be a stronger leader, and by working with them and listening to your community, right, and getting their input. Awesome. Thank you very much for sharing that. Esther, how about yourself? How will you continue to grow as a recreation leader?
Hi.
Oh, hi. Sorry, I know sometimes you go on mute and it's like, where's that unmute gone?
Yeah.
So how will you continue to grow as a recreation leader?
I think it's really important to continue learning, and even though if you do know a lot and have done leadership roles, just to continue to keep knowing that you need to keep learning and keep learning all the time. So whether that's, you know, working with community members or working with the community or taking more courses, just to like keep going no matter you know, how high up you kind of feel. And then kind of go from there, because even if they are bosses, they continue to keep learning as well.
Yeah, and I think that keeping learning over your lifespan or lifelong learning, that's a great thing to role model for young people, like for children and youth, because that's going to set them up for the rest of their life too. So if we as adults can show other people the importance of lifelong learning, then hopefully they'll follow that too. So thank you very much for sharing that. Really, really important. Nathan, how about yourself? How will you continue to grow as a recreation leader?
I would think just continuing, you know, working this position and adding on to, you know, my knowledge, kind of like what was already said, just gaining more experience and knowledge, so that way, you know, I can provide like a higher quality experience to the community. And I would just say, you know, be as open as I can to input and work on the input that I receive from other people and individuals within the community, so that way, you know, I can, you know, have some check on what I should, you know, be doing with my position, I guess.
That's awesome. Like, so making that commitment to learning and growing and expanding where you're at, but also taking feedback from other people to help you grow, so that you're not just making your own plan, but you're inviting other people to finish. That's the sense I get from what you're saying. Is that kind of right?
Yeah, and just maybe even like fishing for more ideas, because I did have, like, you know, some suggestion sheets, and I'll talk to people around the community, but I'm sure I could you know, find some other ways to, you know, get more of a feel on, like, you know, what the community would like. And then not only that, but then, like, you know, kind of like what Joshua said, like the professional side of it, the closed door side as well too. I feel like I'm, like, you know, getting more confidence in it, but then there's, like, still so much, you know, that, like, and it seems like with recreation, it's just continual, you know, year round, like, you know, that type of, you know, admin stuff, and I don't mind it, but, like, you know, for me right now, it's all, like, you know, fairly new, so then, it's more just, like, you know, I'm kind of, getting comfortable into the temperature, I guess.
Yeah, it's kind of like getting your feet wet, right? Before you learn how to swim, so a bit at a time, but you know, there's a lot more out there. And I think same as with Joshua, you'll find that some of the learning events are really helpful for that. So our next learning event that starts on October 18th is about recreation and sport systems. And that will help you do what Ethan just said about connecting to other organizations and groups that can help you with what you're doing. And then you mentioned community, and so did Ethan as well, and get to know your community, which is RF-102, which I think is after Christmas, like in January. That's another one to sort of help you take that extra step into, you know, really working with your community and engaging them in getting their input as well. So thank you. You explained that really well.
Thanks. Thank you, Jim.
Lindsay, how about yourself? What sort of ideas, and I know I'm putting you on your spot because you just jumped into the learning event, but from what you're thinking so far, how will you continue to grow as a leader? In addition to some of the things you've mentioned already on the call, is there anything else?
I think right now, as I'm coming back into the recreation world, is just looking at capacity in our community, in Whitehorse in general, like our not-for-profits and our organizations, sporting, whatnot, to see where there's holes and gaps, and then looking at what I have for capacity and maybe filling some of those gaps. It's kind of where I'm at, so looking to see what opportunities are out there to do things.
That's great. So sort of looking for where there's extra help needed rather than just sort of going in a direction that interests you. So really sort of doing a kind of a scoping out of what's out there and where people could add or use some extra leadership help Awesome. Thank you. And Carly, how about yourself? How will you continue to grow as a recreation leader?
I think I'm going to start making more of a conscious effort to notice what qualities I think make the great leaders around me, and to start taking notes and trying to embody those qualities. And I think I'm also just going to, I want to start making myself more of a presence in the community. This side of recreation is quite new. Normally, my whole life I was in the dance scene and was very part of that community, so recreation is a new one for me. So, yeah, I think I have a lot of people to meet, and I can learn a lot from this side of things.
Awesome. Well, you know, I think just that consciousness that you talked about earlier, I think that that's an amazing commitment to make to your community, to your role, and to people around you. So thank you very much. Thanks so much, everybody. We're just coming to the end of the call. I wanted to just share a little bit of information about the required learning activity, or RLA, for this week. So if you happen to have your computer open in front of you, the information is either on the presentation slide 21 or in the, let me just open it here, under week 2 in our learning event. If you scroll all the way down, it's activity number 7, so it's leadership growth plan. So as I mentioned, for the leadership growth plan, you may want to choose to do activity number 5, which is the self-assessment first. And if you do that, you can choose to share it with me, or you can choose to keep it to yourself. It's entirely up to you. It is really helpful to do that first before you do your growth plan, but I'm not going to, like, say you have to or anything like that. That's a decision for you to make. The leadership growth plan, there's some templates provided. I believe I provided both a PowerPoint as well as a PDF if you want to. It looks like there's a lot of downloads, but we're really fortunate that the government of Nunavut translated a lot of the materials for this learning event. And so I think that it's really nice to be able to provide it in French, in Inuit. Again, did I say that right, Ethan? I know I didn't. Or Inuit as well. How do you say, Ethan, how do I say Inuit, the language? Thank you.
Inuit. Yep.
Awesome. Thank you. I can see how it's written, but it's also, it's harder for me to say, so thank you for helping me. I appreciate that. So, so you don't have to download all of those. Download the one that you'd like to use. And the leadership growth plan, you're going to share it with me a little differently. There's not a forum for you to put it in that everybody else can see it. It's just for you and to share with me. And actually, what I do with these is I keep them, and I provide you with a little bit of feedback or suggestions if there's things that I know might help. And then when you finish, if you're on the certificate journey with us and you finish your certificate, I'll share your leadership growth plans back with you. And people have said it's really cool after, 12 learning events to look back at what they said and what they've learned and how they've grown. So, the other way you can do this is the questions are listed in the activity, and you can even just put it in an email to me if you don't want to use one of the templates. So it's totally up to you. But that's due on Sunday. As with most of our learning events, you do have an extra couple of weeks after it finishes to finish up any of your required learning activities. I start sort of sending reminders after the due date. You do have next week where there is no conference call for our core learning events next week. It's a short week with Thanksgiving. And then the week after, on Monday, October 18th, we start RS101, which is Recreation and Sports Systems. So you'll find it's a very different learning event to this one that we just did. So I try and put the learning events in some sort of order that gives you a bit of variety to them, so it's not always the same hard questions as Joshua said that I asked today and last week too. So So thanks so much. There also is under week two the feedback form. It's activity number 8, and your feedback really helps me make sure that I'm designing and delivering the learning events in a way that works for you. So I appreciate your feedback too. So if you have any questions, please stay on the line after I stop recording. And Kwanashish or Mati Cho or Kwana, is that, that's right, right? Ethan Kwana, or is it Kwana Nick?
That is correct, the first one you said.
Awesome. I got it. Thank you. Or interesting. Yeah. Thanks for joining us. And again, I'll stop the recording. If you have any questions, please stay on the call. And if not, I look forward to chatting with you on Thursday, the week where it's October 18th, so 18, 19, 20. That'll be October 21st. So have a good long weekend, everybody, and take care, and just stay on the call if you have any questions.
Thanks. Have a good one.
All right. Thank you.